Good morning, everyone. Super to see you here today. We're looking at Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 19, with the title Godly Governance, Justice and Equity for the Poor Amongst God's People. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, your word is useful for teaching, correcting, training in righteousness. And so we open our hearts to you and pray that you would do that now from Nehemiah chapter 5. Teach us and train us in righteousness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So do keep Nehemiah 5 open in front of you. And on page 2 of today's notice sheet, there's an outline to help you with today's teaching. As we begin, I want to take a couple of minutes for us to think about how we apply the book of Nehemiah to our lives today. We want our study of this bit of God's word to be more than just an interesting history lesson. So how do we apply Nehemiah? Well, Nehemiah's big project was the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. The Jerusalem building project. Previously, God's people had been exiled from Jerusalem into slavery in Babylon. But later, during the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, the Jewish people were allowed to return to Judea and Jerusalem. But when they got there, they found the city in ruins. Nehemiah finds his place in Old Testament history as a hero because he organized the Jewish people to rebuild the walls and to restore the honor of God's name. Well, moving forward from the 5th century BC to the 1st century AD, Jesus Christ did the foundation work for the New Jerusalem building project. His death on the cross was a work of atonement, bringing reconciliation between God and humans. And it opened the way for people of any nationality to become part of God's new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem that is to come. Today, we are still waiting for this future Jerusalem. It's promised to us in the Bible, but it hasn't happened yet. And our work today is to build up the people of God, members of Jesus' church. Together, and we can think particularly of the people with us here in the church building at this moment, we are the citizens of the new Jerusalem that God promises for the future. So we await the return of King Jesus to bring the fullness of his kingdom. Nehemiah's work was the rebuilding of the literal Jerusalem walls east of the Mediterranean Sea. And with this, he worked to rebuild God's Old Testament Jewish people. So what is our work in the 21st century? Our work is to build up the people of God, those who are included into Jesus' church through faith in his saving work on the cross. So today, the work is not so much about buildings and walls, though of course sometimes that is necessary. But rather, it's building people, building communities of Jesus' church around the world. And the wonderful message of the gospel is that the main work has already been done. Jesus' death on the cross was the foundation work. He did it. And our work is a supporting role. Very important to have that perspective. And in the light of this, our mission statement is fitting: to know Jesus Christ and to make him known. It's about him. It's about Jesus. So as you read and think about the book of Nehemiah, I hope this will help you to apply the book to our life today as a church, building one another up in Jesus Christ in Fordham and Atash Green, but also looking to the wider church here in Colchester, the United Kingdom, and across the world. And just as an aside, we note that Brother Andrew died last week. Brother Andrew was the man who founded the Open Doors organization, which is really an incredible work of God to minister to the persecuted church around the world. And so really very particularly doing this work of building up God's people. Let's turn our focus now to today's Bible reading from Nehemiah chapter 5. So Nehemiah is caught up in this big project to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And his motivation is for the honor of God's name and the honor of God's people. The broken walls and the burnt gates are a disgrace. Nehemiah reveres God's name. And this is what motivates him to restore the city. But the project is difficult and the work is hard. Nehemiah has to work strategically to get the project going and then to maintain the morale of the ordinary citizens who are doing the work. And on top of this, the building project faces opposition from other local people who don't want Jerusalem to prosper. You may remember some of their names from chapters 2, 3, and 4. Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, the Ammonite, Geshem, the Arab, with the men of Ashdod. Their threats led to some of the workers needing to be deployed as guards while the work went on, and each worker having to have a weapon with them at all times. So it's a difficult project, but by chapter 5, progress is being made. And you may remember from Michael Buse's talk 2 weeks ago, chapter 4, verse 6. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. Nehemiah is expending massive energy and focus on the rebuilding project. But in the midst of this, we read of a new problem that arose during his work as governor. Now, some of you will know what this feels like in your own work. You're heavily invested in a major project. You're overextended into a piece of work. It's demanding, and there's already almost too much to do. And then something else comes along, left field, a new problem, a new headache. Well, this is how it was for Nehemiah. But in spite of the pressures, we see his godly governance in chapter 5. Let's move into the story. And my first of 3 points for today is complaint and outcry within the Jewish community, verses 1 to 5. The problem was members of God's people, the Jewish people, being on the edge of starvation. This was due to a famine, verse 3, combined with all the time and energy that was being expended on the wall. Nehemiah, as governor, received a range of complaints. Specifically, people were having to mortgage their fields, vineyards, and homes in order to buy food. Some needed to borrow money to pay taxes on the fields and vineyards. And some were even needing to sell their sons and daughters as slaves in order to put food on the table. So a really bad situation. Not good at all. Just on the slavery front, as an aside, it probably sounds a bit more horrific to us than it was in reality. When we think of slavery today, we think of kidnapping Africans, and selling them in other countries as permanent slaves. The Jewish context then was slightly different. They were selling their children as slaves, and that would enable them to keep farming their land. It would enable them to keep possession of their land. Therefore, they could raise a crop, and then they'll be able to redeem their children from slavery and buy them back. So, obviously not good at all, but a slightly different format to the more modern slavery. The complaints that came to Nehemiah were against the rich Jewish people who were driving the poor Jews into a crisis. Now, this is an interesting Bible passage to come up in our teaching program at this particular moment. And I didn't plan it, so I do see it as a providence from God. In the UK, we're facing a cost of living crisis. We have an energy crisis brought about by the sanctions on Russia for their invasion of the Ukraine. Now, actual food starvation isn't on the UK news at the moment, but the jump in gas, electric and oil costs is creating a crisis which governments around the world are struggling with. And of course, I guess those of us who are homeowners or paying the bills, we know that they went up yesterday, didn't they, on the gas and electric. Last week, while reducing the threat of unaffordable energy costs, Liz Truss, in her new tax policy, is potentially going to make mortgages much more expensive. And we see that mortgages were an issue in Nehemiah 5, weren't they? So obviously the details aren't identical, but we see the similarity of a crisis. And with the model of how to apply the book of Nehemiah to our context, we see that our application should go from Nehemiah to the church today, rather than from Nehemiah to the UK government today. So just hold on to that. We need to think about our responsibility to one another in the church over the coming months of 2022 and 2023. And Galatians 6:10, which we heard at the beginning of the service, is a helpful verse for us in this context. New Testament verse, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. This verse encourages local churches like ours to be generous to all kinds of people. We're to do this with, as we have opportunity, with the resources we have, not with the resources we don't have. And we see that we're to have a priority focus on the family of believers. That is the church community of which we are part, and also further afield and around the world. So in a financial crisis, Nehemiah needed to govern well, and we need the same in God's church today. So let's look at Nehemiah's response to the complaint from the poor in the Jewish community. And my second heading is this: Nehemiah's appeal for justice. Verse 6. When I heard that outcry and these charges, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officials. You are exacting usury from your own countrymen. So the problem is the interest payments taken by one Jewish person from another, which were forcing the poorer people to sell their sons and daughters into slavery. Nehemiah considers it all and then calls a large meeting. And he speaks of the irony of what's going on. The Jewish people had recently been rescued from slavery. They'd been in slavery in Babylon, that changed to the Persian Empire, far away from the Promised Land. But they've been able to come back out of that slavery. Now in chapter 5 verse 8, Nehemiah could be referring to that coming back out of the exile, or he could be referring to the practice of freeing fellow Israelites from slavery in the Jerusalem Judea area. And this practice was stipulated in Leviticus chapter 25. If an Israelite sold himself to work for a foreigner, someone who's not an Israelite, then a relative had the responsibility to redeem that person, buying back their freedom. Whichever Nehemiah is referring to, the Jewish people had been doing this as best they could. But now, due to the famine and the mortgaging of the land, the rich are forcing the poor once again to return to slavery. And Nehemiah says that this is morally absurd. Verse 8. As far as possible, we've bought back our Jewish brothers who were sold to the Gentiles, meaning other nations. And now You're selling your brothers, only for them to be sold back to us. Well, the nobles and officials had nothing to say, and they just kept quiet. Nehemiah continued, verse 9. What you're doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies? Nehemiah implores them to give back the fields, vineyards, and olive groves, and to stop exacting interest. And in a wonderful move of solidarity, the nobles, the well-off people, give up their rights and agree to it. They take an oath to do what they've promised. And then Nehemiah pronounces a prophetic curse on any one of them who doesn't keep the promise. Verse 13. I also shook out the folds of my robe. So he stands there and he visually does it in front of everyone. Shakes out the folds of the robes. And said, in this way may God shake out of his house and possession every man who does not keep his promise. So may the man be shaken out and emptied. Now in all this, Nehemiah wasn't applying specific details of the Old Testament law. What the nobles and officials were doing was probably lawful. But in the light of the big building project, in the light of the opposition that they faced and the struggle to re-establish Jerusalem, he appeals to the absurdity of the situation and calls on the rich to be generous to their poor Jewish brothers. So in his work of rebuilding the city walls, we see that Nehemiah is also rebuilding the people of God so that there's justice and equity amongst God's people. And with the current cost of living crisis in the UK, this is something for us to think about in our own church. In the final section of the chapter, verses 14 to 19, we see Nehemiah's generosity and solidarity. He didn't just tell others what they should do to put things right, he lived it himself. In fact, he went above and beyond with his generosity. He led from the front with his example. During the 12 years when he was governor of Judea, he didn't claim the food allotted to the governors. Instead, he fed others. 150 Jews and officials ate at his table. That means he provided for them, as well as those who visited from the surrounding nations. Each day, one ox, six sheep, poultry were prepared to feed others, and there was an abundant supply of wine every 10 days. Nehemiah didn't acquire any land. Instead, his focus was on building the Jerusalem walls. He kept the main thing the main thing. And why didn't he take what was rightfully his? Verse 15. Out of reverence for God. He was motivated by his desire to honor God. Why didn't he take what was rightfully his? Verse 18. Because the demands were heavy on these people. That's the motivation of solidarity. So as we come to apply this to ourselves today, the motive is important. Nehemiah wasn't just concerned to do what was right in line with the law. He was concerned above and beyond that. He looked to the context and the big picture of the moment that they were in. Jerusalem was in a terrible state, and there was a major piece of difficult work to be done. So let's apply it to us today. Our Jerusalem building project is the building up of Jesus Christ's church, getting people ready for the new Jerusalem that God promises in his Bible. From Nehemiah, there's a basic call to generosity and to meeting the needs of others within the church family. Galatians 6:10 again. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So we're to do good to all kinds of people. Love your neighbour. But with a special focus on the church, the family of believers. So at this time of rising costs, let's look to be generous to those who are in need. First to our own church, and then to other Christians elsewhere and the wider community. And in the light of Nehemiah chapter 5, I want to highlight two specific actions for us as a church community. Firstly, the Benevolent Fund. During the COVID pandemic, the PCC, the Church Council, set up a benevolent fund which church members could give to. The aim was to provide financial gifts to people in the church family who were facing hardship due to loss of work or income during the lockdowns. And although a number of people in the church family were approached to see if they needed help, by God's grace, nobody needed support. And we praise God for that. Well, it's now been agreed to repurpose this money as energy grants to people who are experiencing financial hardship over the coming winter. There's just over 4,000 in the Benevolent Fund at the moment. If you're in need in the coming months, please approach the church treasurer or a member of the PCC Finance Committee. Or if you think that someone else in the congregation may be struggling, again, please contact the treasurer or a member of the Finance Committee. We aren't going to ask for more money to be given at this stage, particularly as it's still there from the time of the COVID situation. But at the point where it's nearly all distributed, we may well make an appeal for further support. So the Benevolent Fund is specifically for members of our church community. Secondly, at next week's Harvest Thanksgiving service, you are invited to bring food, items of food and toiletries to be given to the Colchester Food Bank. And this is a way to give more widely beyond our church to all sorts of people who are facing hardship. With today's notice sheet are details of the Harvest Sunday, and on there you can find a list of eligible items that the food bank would be glad to receive. I mean, there are many ways that we can apply Nehemiah 5, and it may well be that there are charities and Christian organizations that you already support that fit with this. But the Benevolent Fund and the Colchester Food Bank give us two specific ways in which we as a church can respond to Nehemiah 5 and apply Galatians 6:10 in the present moment. In the year 2000, a foundation document was produced for our church called the 11 Decisions. I'm going to read decision 6. We shall do what we can lovingly to help people, especially within the congregation, but also outside it, who are in physical, emotional, social, or material need. And we can see how Galatians 6:10 stands behind that decision, doesn't it? Nehemiah chapter 5 prompts us to engage with this afresh, and particularly in this present moment. Well, let's turn to prayer now. I'm going to give you a moment of quiet for you to reflect on the message of Nehemiah chapter 5, and then I'll lead us in a prayer together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for raising up Nehemiah in his generation to lead your work of rebuilding the Jerusalem walls. We thank you for his godly example, his example of godly governance. We thank you for his grit and focus, for his generosity and solidarity, and his example of going beyond his rights. And we pray for our church, that you will help us likewise to love and care for those who face hardship in our church family and in the wider community. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.